This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So you may have watched last week online, or maybe you were here, and that was steps part one. This is steps part two, sort of mixed in with Palm Sunday and various other things. And we're going to talk about that a little bit and interview some people and watch a video. And then we're going to worship together and bring our pledges. Those of you who were here last week will know what that's about. As part of our worship up to the front here. That's how we're going to finish the service, and then we'll pray for one another. So last week we were talking about how it was, we described this as the worship of the willing, and how when we see God's glory and he reveals himself to us and we encounter Jesus, we respond and we listen to what he's saying about how to respond. And the phrase was the urging of the Spirit. How do you listen to the urging of the Spirit? That was what we talked about last week. So this week it's about how what we actually do, the giving and the bringing, the willing worship. And I'm going to ask Ethan to come and read to us. Where's the microphone gone? From Exodus 35. Go, Ethan, go.
Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. And all who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ramskins dyed red, or other durable leather brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord, and everyone who had acacia wood for any part of work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelites, men and women who were willing, brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ethan. This is God's word to us, and it's given to us because he loves us. It's absolutely right. Thank you, Lord. So last week was the invitation, and this week is the bringing. And that passage that Ethan read so well describes all the incredible things that the people brought. I don't know how many of you brought onyx stones or woven linen in blue, but we have our own sorts of gifts to bring today. Now, this is a little bit of family business, so for those of you who are guests, you're welcome to listen in and take part as much as you wish, but this is something that we're doing as a church together, so you'll have to excuse us if we talk about our own stuff for a bit. Steps is something that we talk about every now and again. The last time was about 4 years ago, when we talk about how we respond to the what God has revealed to us and spoken to us in a one-off, special, out-of-the-ordinary way. It's not part of our regular giving. That happens through the regular members of this church who just give regularly, month in, month out, week in, week out, and that pays for the work we do in the community. It pays for the Sunday gathering. It pays for the care we provide for one another. This is a one-off special thing, which I want to just explain to you a little bit about it. It's a big project. It's something that is beyond what we could do normally. It's something extra. It's something that requires us to have a step of faith, because it's something that we can't manage on our own. And we've called this the worship of the willing. Because when we meet Jesus, when we encounter his call, when he calls us onto mission, he doesn't make us do it. He doesn't make us respond. He invites us. And that phrase that Ethan was reading, that pops up again and again in those verses around Exodus that we've been reading together, keeps talking about the willing, the worship of the willing, the men, the women, and the children who were willing. And that's how we want this to be. So when we bring our gifts later on, it's going to be an occasion of joy and of celebration, of something we do willingly. So as part of that worship, that response to God and to his presence and to the love of Jesus, and like Alex was showing us, that celebration of him coming amongst us, we want to give him our lives. And as part of giving him our lives, we give him our money as well. So don't bring your pledge cards yet. We'll do that. I'll tell you when to do that at the end. There was an interesting bit. If you've been reading through Exodus with us, this is another thing we've been doing over Lent. We've been reading a chapter a day, some of us. If you've been reading it, you will have read the chapter that Ethan just read. And then the next chapter, it goes like this. The craftsmen who are working came to Moses and reported, "The people have given more than enough materials to complete the job." So Moses gave the command, and this message was sent: "Don't prepare any more gifts. Don't bring anything else. We've got enough." I'd love to be able to do that in a week or two's time, to tell you all to stop giving because we've got too much. It's a great picture, isn't it? Their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. So we're going to do those gifts and those pledge forms, which some of you are the steps forms which are around. We'll do that a bit later. Children, if you like, I think in the pews there are some pictures of coins, okay? You can color those in if you like, and you can bring those and put those in instead if you want to. Now, we're going to watch a video in a moment. Last year, Alison and I weren't at all sure about the future of Vineyard House. It seemed like everything we had done hadn't quite worked, that you were using up all our resources just paying bills. But we were praying about this and talking and thinking about this, and I told the story last week, and we felt that it was the Spirit of the Lord said to us, pay off the mortgage, which is never a very exciting thing to tell people about. Although if you have paid off your mortgage, it's a great thing. It's a very exciting thing for those of us who've done that. And the point of that is that it would save us money in enabling us to do what we feel God's called us to do in Vineyard House. So here's a video that Anne made. Anne did a little demonstration with Lizzie last week. Here's a video which explains it again, particularly for the children. So can we show that video?
Hi Vinny Kids, it's Anne here. I'm sorry I can't be with you today, but hopefully you will enjoy hearing my voice and seeing this video. So I've got a load of Lego bricks here. I've got 100 exactly, all separated into different colours. And I was wondering, maybe you can think about, what would you build if I gave you 100 bricks like this? Maybe some of you would build a house, maybe a rainbow, maybe a shape. Maybe you wouldn't do anything with them, I don't know. Have a little think about what you might build. And then what would you say if I asked you to give away some of them? So I've just taken 30 away. What would you do if you only had 70 bricks left to build with? Maybe you could still build what you planned. Maybe you didn't need them all. But maybe for some of you that might now be a little bit tricky and you'd have to change your plans with the bricks that you had left. What would happen if I took away a few more? Would that make it easier? Or would that make it a bit harder to do what you had planned? And what would happen if I took away your favourite colour? Maybe your favourite colour was purple. Maybe some of you, your favourite colour is yellow. And you don't have those anymore. You're only left with these ones. What could you build? I think you could probably still make something really fun, but it might not be the same as what you'd first planned. And it's a bit like that with our Steps campaign about Vineyard House. At the moment, we're trying to think of ways where we don't need to give away all our bricks. And we've got all the colours and all the bricks we need to do the exciting things that God has planned for us in the building. So the grown-ups have been talking about things like mortgages and money, but it's a bit more fun to think about it in terms of bricks. So there you are. Have a think again. What would you love to see made with all of these bricks? And what would you be able to do if you only had a few left?
That's great. So their point of steps is to keep as many of the bricks on the plate as possible. In other words, so all our resources can go into doing the things God has called us to do. So some of you who were here 5 years ago when we did this, and we raised the money to buy Vineyard House. And this is about making sure that you see the harvest from your sacrificial investment then. Some of you were around then but weren't able to give, and now is your chance to give. For some of you, it's you're new to the Vineyard here, and it all happens before your time. And you want to be part of the same story. So this is your chance to be part of it. So that when you walk into Vineyard House and there's something going on there and you can see what's happened there, you can look around and you can think, I had a part of this. I've invested in this. So we wanted to make this available to everybody. I'm going to ask a few friends to come and tell us a little bit about their experiences. Mark Burgess and Helen Grayson and Mike Bide, would you like to come up? So these guys have been heavily involved in different aspects of Vineyard House over the last couple of years. So I'm going to come up here. I'm going to ask them to share a little bit about their experience. So first of all, we'll start with Mark. Mark is now retired, but is an architect and a town planner, city planner for Leeds. And he really, doesn't like being in charge, but he likes opening the door to let people into this place and out of this place. And he understands the building better than most of us do. So, Mark, would you tell us a little bit about this, and what do you love about the project?
I love having a key, and if anybody wants to have a look, I'm not here next week, but the week after. My jaw drops when I walk around that building sometimes. I took my mum there before she passed away, and she'd been there in the late 40s, early 50s, for an event up on the top floor, which actually isn't open to us at the moment, but that's the story of the future. She just remembered. She was just standing there like this. It's a space almost as big as this. So if you've not been there, I'll take you there the week after next. But what I really like about this whole project, actually, is it kind of vindicates what happened in 1884, where that building was built. It was the St. Michael's Parochial Hall, and I'm glad we've changed the name, because parochial sounds quite, you know, not quite what we want to do in the building. But it is, actually, because it was opened with a view to changing people's everyday lives. It wasn't the church building where only worship kind of happened. It was the place where lots of other things happened. And I think when you listen to Liz last week, which I did online, it was almost like a stream of stuff, wasn't it? And she hardly took breath, and it was just so lovely to hear. You didn't actually stop her, which is unusual for you, because he's going to stop me in a minute. But that is the renewal of the purpose of this building, which has been, it has to be said, it had a good last owner, but he only used about a tenth of the building, and we're using probably only about a third of the building, or less maybe, at the moment. So it's that repurposing into changing people's everyday lives that I really like. It was done by one of the best architects, the most prolific architects in Leeds at the time, who did things that you've been in, like the Grand Theatre. You probably had a coffee in the tiled hall of the library. He designed that building, and he came and did this for us.
So tell us, what do you... look forward 5 years.
That's not a very flattering photo, but...
Looking forward 5 years, what are you looking forward to seeing happen? Just give us a quick vision of what would float your boat.
The room at the top, which is the room that's shaped like this, Headingley needed it in 1884. I think it probably needs it now. So that's longer-term future. But I just love what's going on. I love the list of things that Liz read out. I love the fact that it's already housing quite a few of those things. We're going to hear about something in a minute, probably from Helen, whose group has done half the work of sprucing it up, by the way.
Let's hear from Helen. Helen. So Helen's part of the Refresh project, who have been doing tons of work as part of Brian. Remember Brian last year, You got a whoop from your family at the back there.
Oh, right.
tell us why you've invested such amount of time and energy into that building.
I think for me, I love old buildings. I love seeing a potential in them to completely transform them. But interestingly, I've had my ups and down moments with Vineyard House when it was like, this is a massive job. We're never going to get this done. But actually, it's not about an amazing finished piece. What I've seen is actually God used this building in the developing stage, and that it's been an amazing warmth place where people have just been moved by coming into the building. We've seen youth groups happen. We've seen the church community come together. And in that process, it's just been fantastic to see everybody contribute from making cups of tea to teenagers standing up having a go at painting, people scrubbing floors. Yeah, I'm one of these people. I love a DIY program. I love that transformation. But actually, I've learned that it's not about the finished piece. It's actually about that journey. And also for me, it's been a big push on faith. And actually, God's given us this. And I've honored that. And I felt that even though it's been tough, that we really need to stick to that journey and stick to that vision that God has given us.
Yeah, that's really good. And what... looking forward a few years, what can you see?
See, I think it's something that for everybody. So for the community surrounding the area, where it's somewhere that people can go, have a drink, get some help, get some food. But I also see it as a citywide use as well. It's an amazing space, an amazing building. And I think it's for everybody. And just, it's a key part of Headingley. We spent many Saturdays watching people on the Otley Run wander past. But it is a really fundamental part of the community. Although it's tucked down a back road, actually, it's a throughfare for everybody in that community. So to me, I see such an amazing potential to do so many things there.
Great, thank you. So this is Mike. Mike is you'll have probably seen him leading worship, but he's also the chair of trustees. And I've asked him just to share the perspective from the trustees who sort of carry the can on this.
And Sarah and the boys are going to come and help me to illustrate that point. And Anne on the video had bricks, but I've got Easter eggs to illustrate the point. So if my helpers could hold up their Easter eggs. Stand up, nice and tall. And I don't know if you can see online, but we've got three Easter eggs of different types. So as David said, I'm Mike. I'm one of the leaders here. I'm the chair of the Board of Trustees. The Trustees is the body that is accountable to the Charity Commission for the governance of the church, and in particular managing our resources, our money, for effective public benefit. So Sarah and the boys are here to help me. Sarah represents the leadership team of the trustees, David and Alison, working together to make wise decisions about how, where to spend our money so we can have the most impact with this building and more generally. And my boys here, they represent some of the constraints and challenges of recent years. Did you like that?
What a good
metaphor. Pandemic restricted, you know, changed some of the rules around funding, made some funding less available, and then more recently interest rates are going up, so we're a bit more restricted. So what's happened to my Easter eggs? So Sarah, you're representing the trustees, David and Alison, the leadership team. We've got to make some choices. So what choice would you like to make?
Microphone.
Tricky.
What are you choosing between?
The eggs.
Oh,
I think
eggs.
Which one I want?
Yeah. Bounty.
I think I might go for the bounty because it looks bigger and Lizzie's very excited about having that egg.
Okay, go ahead. So, looks like that's not really working out for you. So, is there a difference? We did talk about this, Elliot. Is there a different choice you'd like to make?
It was a good rugby tackle, thanks. I'm going to go whisper, okay? I'm not quite sure what's going to happen next.
Go. Down.
Okay, that choice doesn't seem to be available either. Is there another one you could choose, Sarah?
I'm going to go for that one.
Okay.
Rugby team.
Yes. Hey, okay. It's just a little illustration of what it's been, you can sit down if you like, of what it's been like over recent years, especially recent months. So for us as trustees, our job is to support, encourage, challenge each other, David and Alison and the team, to make the best choices we can. And we love Vineyard House, we love the opportunities it represents, but things have felt increasingly constrained. We can see opportunities like the bounty egg or the other one. We can see those opportunities. We want and we need to spend money on those, but we've got limited room for manoeuvre right now. So this campaign is about freedom. So our aim is to pay off the mortgage, and I should not contradict David, but I'm going to. I think that is exciting. It's really exciting because this will give us outright ownership of the building. It will release us from the obligations and the costs of paying the mortgage. It's not just about the mortgage, it's about outright ownership, and that will give us freedom. Freedom from those obligations. It allows us to make choices. Vineyard House is really good. I can't remember which egg was in the middle, but that's a really good choice. Investing in the building, paying the mortgage, it's a good choice. It's good choices we've made. The crunchy egg is a good thing to have, but it's become limiting for us. The circumstances have changed, COVID, interest rates. And we want this freedom to make choices so we can respond to what we feel are God-given opportunities. We see new opportunities, the bounty egg, the other one. We want to respond to develop those next projects, to develop the ones that are running, to start the new ones. Freedom to choose, the bounty egg or the whisper, according to what we feel God is saying. Friends, we'll still have choices to make. We might need to choose one project or another. It might not be possible to grab all three Easter eggs all at the same time. But the more we're able to give, the more choices and options will be open to us. Outright ownership gives us that freedom to make choices, to respond to the opportunities we see. That's why we, as trustees, support and endorse this STEPS campaign.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Mark. We've done quite a lot of things here. I don't think we've ever had a rugby tackle or by a son on their mother. Are you okay? Good. I'm glad you're okay. Right. Sweet seem to be playing a part today. So you've got those pledge cards in front of you. I'm just speaking to the people who are involved in the church life and for whom this is important. And many of you will have filled them in and brought them ready to put in the offering. If not, they're there. And you could do this online and you could post it or message it in other ways. Basically, we need this sort of information, as much as you're willing to give about yourself, to help us plan and know what's coming. Okay? Especially if you want to, if you pay tax and you're willing to take the gift aid box, it enables us to claim back the tax that you've already paid, which is really helpful. And there's different ways of giving there, a one-off, over 3 months, even a loan arrangement, if that would help, help you do that. So that's what these cards are for, and we're going to collect those a bit later on in a sort of in a celebratory part of our worship. Now you'll see that it says there that 10% of what we gather will be given to a good cause. And the good cause this year, that's our habit with STEPS, is that however much people give, we'll give 10% of it away. And it's a sort of like a giving on a giving, generosity upon generosity. And this year we're going to be giving to DTI. This year we're going to be going to DTI. Yeah, DTI stands for Dreaming the Impossible, and that's the national ministry to and with young people. It's just an enormous privilege to have what we the profile we have in the country for that. There'll be several thousand young people gathering for a big camp in the summer, which the Vineyard are leading, and it's an ongoing investment in this. There's lots of stuff going on, but our heart really goes out to the young people who've been through awful stuff over these last 2 or 3 years, and the pressure they're under with their culture and stresses and of the day. I think this is a really good place to invest our giving on giving. So 10% of what we collect we will give to DTI this year to help them make sure that conference works fantastically for the kids, for the young people. Now I want some help from the children. This is, by the way, this is live streamed, as I think you gained. So if you come into the front, maybe just the top of your head, but you might be visible online. So if that's a problem for you, don't come anywhere near the front. Send somebody else in your stead. There's something we call the common pot, which is that everybody gets to play. Everybody gets a part in what we're doing, however big or small your gift is, however big or small your offering of your life and your gifting is. And it's the amazing thing about the way God does maths, is that even the smallest gift counts for just as much as the biggest gift. So I want to invite the children. I'm just going to set up very temporarily a sweet shop here. Okay. It's not a very big sweet shop, but it is a sweet shop. It's David's sweet shop. Okay. And I have some an offering, something that you can buy, some sweets. I was going to do chocolates, but it's Lent, and I'm not doing chocolate right now. So, if you're a child and you've been briefed by your parent and been provided with a pound or so, would you like to come up to the front and see what we can do with that pound? No, just wait there for a moment. Just for a moment. Who have we got? Three of you. We need a few more. Is there anybody else? Excellent. Good. So, very good. So, are they veggie? No, I don't think so. I think they've got lots of bad things in them. I think they're really. I don't think you should really eat them. So, very good. Now, you've just given me a pound. The trouble is, these cost £7, this bag. So this, you haven't got enough money. That's terrible, isn't it? Just hold it for a minute and just stay there. Okay, let's try Elliot. What have you got? Pound. Oh, it's £7, though. It's not enough, I'm afraid. Sorry. What have you got? It's a pound. We've got a problem here. These are £7. I'm sorry, you can't have them. Have you got a pound too? Go on, Zip. Give me a pound. It's just not enough. What are we going to do? Just hold on to that pound for a minute. What have you got? How much have you got? You got £2. You're making good progress, but we're still a fiver short. I'm really. What shall we do? Tell you what. Do you want to put your pound in there? And you put your pound in there. And you, come on, everybody put their pounds in here, or your £2. We've got a lot. See, I'm dealing with steps all on my own here. There you go. Excellent. 2 50 pence pieces. Any more? Is everybody? Have you got some? Would you like to put yours in? Yeah? Excellent. Right. What should we do with this? How much is in there? Does somebody want to count it? Go on. Count it. Now, the way when we have cash, we don't do much cash, but when we have cash, we have two people counting, making sure it's visible, and we write it down and we sign it off to, you know, to make sure we're not doing anything, nobody's stealing any money or anything. So there's two people here counting it out. What are we going to?
£14.
Exactly.
£14.20.
So you can buy this. You can have this. There you go. So can you give me £7? Because that's what I need out of there. For this. Somebody else open it. You open it. There you go. I've got my £7. They've got their bag. Now, what's in the bag? What's in the bag? Yeah, some sweets. Let's have a look. Excellent. So we can have one each. There you go. Everybody gets some. In fact, you can have two each if you want. Go on, take two each. Is this okay, parents? Take two each. Make sure each of you got two.
Wait, two?
Yeah, two. Take your own time. No hurry. You're choosing. Dave, you're looking worried. can she have two? Yeah? Okay. Hope I'm right. I hope you all can have two. You have two? Can you have two? There you go. Zipper, do you want two? Does she allow two? Yeah, Dad wants them if you don't eat them. There you go. So, have you got your two yet?
No.
No.
I don't got two.
You may not have to be too choosy. You may just have to take the first two. There you go. Now, the thing is, those of you still here, children, we've got a problem. I need your help. No, don't go away. Don't go away. Come back. Come back. Right, I've got a problem. I've got some money left over here, and I got some leftover sweets. What should we do with them?
Give it back. Give us the money back.
Do you want the money back, or shall we give it to somebody else?
We'll give it to the church.
Yeah. And what about this? What about these? Why don't you go on? See if you can find somebody who wants some sweets and share it. Is there anybody? Is there anybody? How much is left? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's about... Anybody wants a sweet? There you go.
Anyone else?
Excellent. Okay, they're all gone. Now, we've got one more thing. We've got... How much was there left, do you think?
£7.20.
That's £7.20. Does anybody want £7.20? Does anybody need some money? Does anybody come... Would you like £7.20? Yeah, go and give it to that girl there. Okay? Thank you very much, children. You've helped me explain it. I came out of that slightly better than I expected. Thank you. The point of the exercise is to illustrate how if we all put a small amount of money in, we can take part in something much bigger and be generous as well. Yeah? So here's a grown-up version of what we've done. This is I know some of you hate this. Forgive me, look the other way. But some people love it. I had messages from people watching online who love it. So this is what a way this might look. Okay, it won't be like this, but it's a sort of example of how it could be in terms of our giving. So when we started this some months ago, somebody in advance gave a significant chunk of money, and £25,000 has gone towards this already. That's kick-started the whole project, which is wonderful. And then let's say one person decides they're going to give £66,667. Seems like an awful lot of money, but that does happen. And somebody feels the Spirit urged them to do that. Okay? And then two people give £25,000, and then so on and so forth. And then we have maybe 25 people giving £1,000 each, and then 75 people giving £100. They all count, and they all enable us to do this one big thing that we want to do. They're all participating. And it could be the green ones are sort of for the children, so maybe the children want to give £5. Mind you, they've probably given me some of that already. So maybe 25 want to do £5 each, and then maybe some people would prefer to do three lots of 1 month each, so £500 a month for 3 months, or £25 a month for 3 months. And then maybe some people would be able, some children particularly might want to give £2 a month for 3 months. You see how it can all adds up to the main gift that we want to make. We're all participants in the one thing. It's a joint offering of the people of this church to do this thing that God has called us to, whatever level of participation you want to make. So, we're coming to the end. Helen, do you want to bring your band up? It's the amazing thing about the way God does this stuff, is that he enables us to give out of our, whatever he's given us already, he enables us to give and to do amazing things. His math is different. Even the smallest gift counts towards a huge project. It says in Exodus 35:29, Ethan read it to us earlier on, all the Israelite men and women and children who were willing joyfully, happily, not feeling under any constraint or manipulation, who were willing, because the Spirit had urged them, brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. So as we worship together, this will be on the live stream, we're going to bring our gifts. Somebody could help me just with this, that table and the basket in the middle, please. We're going to put this in the middle here. And so during the worship, in your own time, sooner rather than later, really, if you'd like to come up and just drop your pledge card in here, or cash or checks, whatever it is you want to bring, or your drawings, if you're if one of the children have been drawing and colouring in things. There's some envelopes here, which I'll put down on the pew. So if you'd rather it was inside an envelope rather than visible, just slide it into an envelope, pop it in here. And at the end of the worship time, we're going to pray over and thank God for what he's given. And a couple of the trustees and people are going to go and count it separately. And then we'll report back in a couple of weeks. I know you're here today, but there's a lot of people who aren't here today. We're on holiday and all sorts. They'll be giving during the course of the next couple of weeks. And we'll add it all in. So this is a visible joint adventure. It's celebration. It's also sacrifice. It's worship. It's the response of intimacy and an encounter to Jesus. Why don't you stand and bring your gifts as Helen leads us in worship? Lord, we thank you for everything you've given us and for who you are and for the celebration of you coming on Palm Sunday, that Hosanna moment. We thank you for that and for all that it led to. And this is a part of our response to you, is our giving and our dedication and our pledging for steps. We want to worship you in song and worship you in our giving. Amen.